The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When we fill God's silence with plans of our own that don't work out, it's easy to feel as if we've blown it and there's no way back. I want you to know that is not true. God is a redeemer and it is not over yet. I want you to hear that. God's plan for your life, it is not over yet.
Sheila Walsh cautions us about getting impatient while waiting for our prayer to be answered. Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. I'm so glad that you chose to be with us today. You know, when I started writing on the subject of prayer, I spent a couple of years just researching, reading what other people had written, reading what God's Word said about prayer. And then I put out a kind of survey on my Facebook page. I don't know if you do Facebook, but if you do, mine is just Sheila Walsh Connect, I think. But I put out a little survey and I said, what do you find some of the biggest challenges in your own life about prayer? And there were lots of things that came up. And honestly, I addressed most of them in my book. But one of them was something that came up over and over again. And it was this: how do you keep holding on and praying when heaven seems silent? You know, have you ever been in a place like that? I think one of the greatest challenges to a life of faith and prayer is to keep praying when it feels as if your prayers go no higher than the ceiling, or it feels as if God is just silent. I have an awesome memory as a teenager of one man's faithful prayers. He refused to stop praying, even when it seemed as if heaven wasn't listening. You know, growing up in our little town in Scotland, every Tuesday night, I'd go with my mum to our church prayer meeting. Now, ours wasn't a very large church, so maybe, I don't know, 30 or so of us met every week. But one of my favorite members was a gentle older man from way up north in the highlands of Scotland. I'll call him Angus. Well, every Tuesday, he prayed the same prayer. He asked God for his wife's salvation. And some nights he would pray in his soft, lilting accent. And other nights he wouldn't be able to finish as tears poured down his rough cheeks. I cannot tell you how many Tuesday nights I wept with Angus. He'd been a pilot after he gave up his farm and had retained his pilot's license. So one summer day, I was probably about 15 or 16, he flew my brother and I up to the island off the north coast of Scotland, where he'd been born. He thought we'd enjoy the flight up the coast, and he wanted to show us the little church, or kirk, as he called it, where he'd been raised. It was a beautiful, clear day, and I remember looking out the small plane's window as we got lower and lower over the fields of sheep and wondered, where's the landing strip? I remember saying to him, yelling over the noise of the propellers, there's no landing strip. And he said, oh, just watch, wee lass. We'll just have to come and let the sheep know we're coming. And sure enough, as he flew low over one of the fields, the sheep ran for their lives, and we landed safely. Well, after tea and scones at a local tea shop, we walked up the cobbled alley to the church. The doors were open, so we went inside. The floors, it was just one of those beautiful old churches where the floors squeaked with stories from long ago as we walked to the front, where the sun was streaming through the lone stained glass window. It was a picture of Christ, the Good Shepherd, carrying the lost sheep back home. We sat in the stillness for a while, just enjoying the quiet. And then I said, do you mind if I ask you a question, Angus? And he said, no, lass, go ahead. Well, it's about your wife. Do you ever wonder why God hasn't answered your prayers yet? Well, he was quiet and thoughtful for a moment. And then he looked at me and he said this: he's never failed me yet, lass, and I don't reckon he'll start now. Well, I found out from my mum later that night that Angus had been praying for his wife for over 40 years. Well, years later, I was home on a break from seminary when Angus died. And our little church was packed. This gentleman's life had touched so many people. Our pastor preached a beautiful message about Angus's long obedience in the same direction and his utter devotion to Christ. At the end of the service, as those who'd come to honor his life poured out onto the street, I noticed that Angus's wife was still sitting in the front row, and our pastor was sitting by her side. Well, I assumed, you know, obviously he was trying to comfort her, so I slipped out and left them alone. But later that day, I discovered that he'd been leading her into a relationship with Jesus. When she saw the church packed with those who loved her husband and heard this compelling message about the one who led Christ all his days, she finally bowed, and Angus's Savior became her Savior that day too. Let me just tell you this, a lifetime is not too long to pray. Angus wouldn't know the impact of his prayers until 2 years later when his wife passed and walked through those gates and joined him in heaven. You know, God's word is full of stories of men and women who waited for years to hear from God. I mean, think of Abram and Sarah, who became Abraham and Sarah. If you were raised in church like I was, it's easy to think that you know that story. But as I've been studying it over and over again, it is pretty mind-blowing. I mean, think about this. When God first introduced himself to Abram, Abram was 75 years old, and he was a pagan. It's about 2,000 years before the birth of Christ. God told him to leave his country and that he would bless him. You can read that for yourself in Genesis 12. So, and all we read is, Abram obeyed. There's got to be more to the story than that, don't you think? I always want the longer version. Don't you wish you knew how God talked to him? I mean, it had to be quite something for him to pack up his wife and his nephew Lot and all his possessions and walk away from his home in Ur, which we now know as it's modern-day Iraq. That's where Abram was. He was leaving behind his birthright, his inheritance, to follow a God he had just literally met. Now, the land that God was promising him was 1,500 miles away, through Haran, which is what we know as modern-day Syria, and eventually all the way to Canaan, modern-day Israel. But Abram didn't know how far they'd have to travel. He simply believed God, and off he went. Well, hundreds of miles from home, he and Sarah find themselves in a country where, think about it, they can't speak the language, they're old, and they have no children. Let me pause their story for a minute and ask you a question. Have you ever stepped out in faith? Perhaps those around you told you it was crazy, but you believed you had heard from God. And so, in faith, you moved forward. You know, you took that job or you quit that job, having moved across the country and joined that church, whatever it was, and you expected that because you had stepped up, that God would too. But things didn't work out quite the way you thought they would. And you wonder, did I get it wrong? Did I really hear from God? Or was my family right? God's timing is rarely on our schedule. And we tend to measure our understanding of God's ways and will by the outcome that we can see. But the truth is, God is far more interested in who you and I are becoming in the waiting. Abram had been told that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. But 10 years passed and nothing was happening. Now he's 85 years old and he still has no children. Now, 10 years isn't such a long time if you're 20. But Abram was 75 when God first spoke to him. So 10 years, that was a lot. But then God spoke to him again and told him that he would have a son and his descendants would be like the stars. You can read about that in Genesis 15. It was tradition in those days that if a wealthy man died without an heir, the head servant in his household, his right-hand man, would inherit everything. But God said, no, Abram, you will have your own son. He took Abram outside and told him to look up at the stars and count them if he could. It's hard for you and I to imagine how spectacular that would have looked. Well, I got a glimpse of it in Africa. You know, when we're in the middle of a country in Africa and there's no electricity, there's no light from cars or houses, and often our photographer Janice will take these amazing photographs. We'll just kind of lay there and look at the stars. It's breathtaking. So that's what Abram saw. So God spoke to Abram, revealing his plans for his life. But what about Sarah? Where was she in all of this? God's message to Abram was pretty straightforward. You will have a son of your own. But God didn't speak to Sarah. He didn't include her name in his promise to Abram. And now Abram's 85 and she's 75 years old. So, like we often do, she came up with her own plan. It's human nature. When we can't see how God could possibly work things out, often we're tempted to improvise. I mean, I feel for Sarah. Her plan B was to have Abram sleep with her maid, but it would ultimately deeply hurt her. It would hurt her maid, Hagar, and it would give birth to two nations that are still to this day at war, Palestine and Israel. My heart aches for you too. If you've found yourself in a place like that, where you've been waiting and waiting and God is doing nothing, at least nothing you can see. You wanted to be married and believed that God had promised you a husband or a wife, but time kept marching on and that infernal clock kept ticking, if you're a woman. So you reached out for what was there. And now you wonder if you just made the biggest mistake of your life. Or maybe you knew that God had prepared you for this new position, but they passed over you again. So you said, forget it, and left. And now you feel adrift, like you don't belong anywhere. When we fill God's silence with plans of our own that don't work out, it's easy to feel as if we've blown it and there's no way back. I want you to know that is not true. God is a redeemer and it is not over yet. I want you to hear that. God's plan for your life, it is not over yet. Well, 13 years have passed since Hagar's son Ishmael's birth. I mean, that's a long time for Sarah to hear that boy's laughter, watch him run into his mother's arms, watch her husband hold his son with pride, 13 years of regret. And she must have felt as if this was all her life was going to hold for her. Why did I do this? Why did I suggest that Abram sleep with my maid? She must have asked that question to herself over and over 1,000 times, but it was done. There's nothing she could do about it. But God could. It just took every one of those 13 years. After 13 years of silence, God spoke to Abram again. He's now 99. When Abram was 99 years old, we read, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. From his Chaldean heritage, his name Abram meant exalted father. Now he was given a new name, Abraham, a Hebrew term, father of many. But what about Sarai? Did God see her? Had she blown it because she came up with her own plan? No. Now God spoke about her by name and changed her name in a little but hugely significant way. Then God said to Abram, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Sarai meant my princess in the land she'd come from. But now God changed it to Sarah, princess, a Hebrew name in the land where kings would be among her descendants. No longer simply Abram's princess, but one in her own right under God. This was a very unusual thing for God to do. Those kind of generational blessings from God fell on the man of the house. But God gifted Sarah with the name Mother of Many Nations. Don't let anyone ever tell you that God's word is misogynistic, that God doesn't love and honor women. It's simply not true. Think about it. The first human being to set eyes on the risen Christ was Mary. God loves his daughters well. In the Old Testament, we get glimpses of the outrageous, tender love of God for us. But there was still sin, rebellion, disobedience that stood between us. When Christ took all of that upon himself on Calvary, sin was dealt with once and for all. So now you can look at yourself in the mirror on days when you don't feel so lovable and speak this over your soul. The Lord loves this daughter. If you're struggling right now, if heaven seems silent, I'm asking the Lord to give you the gift of faith where there's no sight. I'm asking him to give you hope when it feels as if it's almost gone. I'm asking God to give you strength and a clear sky tonight to see the stars. It's so easy to quit praying when we feel as if God is not listening. I want you to know God is listening. You are not alone. You know, I was asked to speak to a class of kindergartners. They were all about 5 years old. And one of the things that one of the little girls asked me was, could you teach me what is a very good prayer to pray when you're really tired? Which I thought was funny, when you're five, really tired. She said, I feel like I've lost all my get up and go. And I said, one of the most powerful prayers that any of us can pray, whether you're five or 95, whether you've walked for the Lord for years or perhaps some of this is pretty new to you, is simply the name Jesus. Do you know there's power in the name of the Lord? You know, if you're somebody who grew up in the church and maybe memorized scripture, as I do, we're very familiar with like Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But if you're in a season right now where you're hurting, where you've been praying and praying and it doesn't seem to make a difference, why don't you read the two verses before that? Romans 8, 26 and 27. And there you'll discover that in those moments when you have run out of words, when you've run out of tears, when you're just exhausted, do you know the Holy Spirit prays for you? But the Holy Spirit also prays in accordance with God's will. He knows God's will for your life. So to think that the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf is such a gift. We're just praying here at Life today that we just want in fresh ways for you to understand the depth of the love of God for you. You know, I got a little note from someone the other day who's in prison. He's serving a life sentence and asked if I would send him a Bible, which I was, you know, happy to do. But I got a note back just saying that his prayer now for the rest of his life is that he will become a prayer warrior from behind bars. That's the beautiful thing. You know, sometimes they say, well, we're going to remove prayer from schools. You can't remove prayer from schools. If you've got anybody in a school who loves Jesus, trust me, we're praying. And when we begin to pray, God opens our eyes to see how you and I can make an incredible difference in this world because some other people are hurting right now. I want to introduce you to one of them. Would you watch this? In the driest regions of Africa, there's often only one place to find water, deep underground. So deep, in fact, that it takes two people a full week of digging to reach it. Well, despite their efforts, these hand-dug wells aren't deep enough, and the water remains unclean, causing widespread illness from waterborne diseases. And recently, we learned of another danger we did not expect.
Wamukutekamashukumukalo. Nusa mutekasamukalo. Namba mara ndera kumukalo posa pachino wa kuri. ndasakamana kuhlakona umuntu akanyemuka kwambe mukonkheli kwamukushika kulya namukuchana mumungo murishite namwana wakurukira mukati.
It's an unimaginable tragedy, a mother's worst nightmare. And yet, the reality surrounding Mercy and her family, the utter lack of safe water sources, demands that they live with the risk.
Ah, pasi chino chini kumoshanguru kiteo. Kuzo kikustavo para benga, shanguru kiteo angusishon tesichiteo. So kuya kwanza, budi mundai kuya papa lamu ana katana kugira mumkaro. Digitevo wakupuma mashi kwakupuma wana kuya kumkaro. Kisasa wakupura angusu.
I don't want one more mother to go through, you know, what Mercy has gone through. But this is something that you and I can do something about. This did not need to happen. And that's why we're here. She's not asking for a lot. She's just looking for a place to send her children to actually get, for the first time in their lives, clean water.
As long as I live, I will never, ever forget Mercy. You know, we get the privilege of meeting with so many mothers and grandmothers, and every single one has a story to tell. Every single one is, you just feel the love of Christ for everyone. But for some reason, Mercy just got into a place in my heart. And I think it was because she asked me, her daughter had just died like 5 months before. And I asked where her daughter was buried, and she said, it was kind of in a clearing of trees, not very far away. And I asked her, had she been back to the site since her daughter died? And she said, no, I can't go back, which I totally understood. But after we spent some time with her, talking with her and praying over her and her children, she asked me, she said, would you walk with me to the place where my daughter is buried? It's one of the most sacred walks I've ever taken in my life. And the closer we got, the more she just began to kind of collapse into my arms. And, you know, the fact her name is Mercy just stuck with me. And it made me think of even, I mean, and I know you know the scripture, but Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says this, you know, what are we supposed to do for the Lord? Do you want, you know, these burnt offerings? What can we do? And it says, no, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do what is right, when you and I have the ability to change the lives of these villages, to make it that not one mother has to take that terrible walk to see why her daughter has taken so long to come back from the well. I can't imagine the agony of looking into a well and there's your daughter. I mean, it's beyond belief. And that's why I feel this so urgently. This is our last week of Water for Life. And we are committed to putting wells in villages, but we can't do it without you. As much as you will help, we will drill wells. And we can all get involved at some level. For $48, you can provide clean water for 10 children. If you're able to put in a whole well, that's $4,800. What a wonderful thing to be able to give as a legacy from a family or a Bible study group or a Sunday school class. We're going to put a number up on your screen, and I'm asking you, please, as this is our last week, we're going back soon to Africa. We want to go back with the great news that we shared the stories. It's hard for Mercy to sit there and tell her story, to revisit that place, but she did it so that other mothers won't have to suffer. So please, will you go to your phone? Will you make just the best gift that you can? And together, we can change the world one well at a time.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
These ladies are here washing, and you can see by looking at the water. The water is totally contaminated, and we know for a fact that thousands of people have died in this area, so we must drill water wells here and literally give these people a future. And this is typical of all of Southern Africa. We need your help, and we ask you to help provide the answer and the remedy to this very serious problem. When you've got children dying every day because of contaminated water sources, we can turn that situation into a situation of hope. So would you be that source of inspiration and help by making the best gift you can today?
This is our last week for Water for Life. It's a campaign I love and I'm committed to. And if you've given before, can I just ask you, would you give again? The need is still there. We want to be able to put wells in as many villages as we can so these tragedies don't happen. They're not asking for a lot. They're not asking for an iPhone or a car. They just want to be able to give their child clean drinking water. For any gift at all, I will send you my brand new book, Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. So for James, Betty, from all of us here at Life Today, I'm Sheila Walsh, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Pastors Jensen Franklin and Robert Jeffress encourage believers to stand up and have a kingdom impact no matter the culture. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.